First Samuel chapter 7. First Samuel chapter 7. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 7. And Israel has just won a great battle against the Amorites, the Philistines. And in verse 15 of 1 Samuel 7 is sort of a little bit of a summary of Samuel's life. Now, Samuel was somebody that everybody in this room could aspire to be like in many ways. He was godly. He was godly from his youth up. He didn't have wasted years, personally. He served the Lord all the days of his life. He made an impact on people. He was real. He's what all of us would like to be like in his heart. But I want you to notice something. You'll see the one weakness in his life. And notice, if you would, Roman numeral 3 in the outline. Samuel was a faithful judge and prophet. A, he rode a circuit to judge Israel from Bethel to Gilgal and then to Mizpah. He was traveling a good bit. Now, I want you to notice something about him. Look in verse 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. Now, what would happen is this. From time to time during the year, he would go to Gilgal. And he would set up there, and people that had disagreements would come to him and say, "Tell us who's right." He would make a decision, and that was final. That would settle it. So he was like a judge, and he went throughout all the land, and he was so honest that God used him so much that he always judged right. So they had great respect for him. So he'd go to Gilgal, and he would go to Mizpah, and he would make this circuit every year. And people would wait for him and say, in 4 months, when the judge gets here, we're going to get this settled. And so he would travel from place to place. And he would answer all the questions. He would settle all the issues till they're all settled. Then he'd go to the next place. Only one problem with that. You'll notice in verse 17, and his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. So we find he judged Israel in 4 places. Now I want you to watch. B, in the outline, he lived in a house in Ramah and judged there also. He worshipped in Ramah as well as other places in Israel. So he had a place of worship right there in his own town. So he did worship the Lord. You'll notice C in the outline, he preached the truth to Israel as a prophet of God all the days of his life. He was faithful. But he made one mistake. Apparently, the Bible doesn't say exactly, but it does give us a sort of an insight. He traveled too much. And he never reached the heart of his boys. And young people, I want you to understand tonight that you're going to give your heart to somebody. And by that I mean, you're going to believe somebody. You're going to follow somebody. You're going to listen to somebody's advice and judgment. You're going to pay attention to somebody. You're going to lift somebody up in your eyes and respect them. Every one of you are. It may be somebody that you work for. It may be a big brother or sister. It might be your parents. It's supposed to be your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. If you don't do that, and that's your responsibility, it's going to cost you your future as you walk with the Lord. Because the only way you can have God's richest blessing on your life is if you're honoring to your parents and in turn honoring to the Lord. He had 2 sons, and he didn't demand that honor of them. He was busy. He was faithful all the days of his life to do his job. But you'll notice in verse number 1 of chapter 8, it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. He did what is normal. He trusted his sons. But somehow he didn't know their hearts. And parents, you're supposed to know your children's hearts. You should know what their... Now let me tell you what the definition of knowing their heart. Do you know what they would do when they're put under pressure? Young people, will you tell the truth when three of your friends don't? Will you do the right thing when two of your friends say, let's go do this? That's your heart. Do you read your Bible because it's right or because you want to get points? That's your heart. Do you as parents know the heart of your children? Do you know what they would do if you weren't around? Samuel did not. He loved his boys just like anybody here would. He put his boys in positions of judges. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 3, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside. Now, his sons loved their dad, but they didn't want to be like him. He was real, but he didn't spend enough time with them to get their hearts. And guys, if it takes it, you have to do whatever it takes to get their hearts. You have to get their hearts. You have to gain their respect. So you have to be real, but you got to spend enough time with them to where they want to be like you. They want to have your God as theirs. It's imperative. Samuel is one of the prime examples of Scripture of loving your children, providing for them, putting them in places of prestige, helping them get a good job, but they don't have the heart or the preparation spiritually to do well at it. And somehow, Samuel didn't see it. So parents, that's the one area of Samuel's life we cannot be like. You have to know what your children would do if you're not around. You have to know what your children would do when there's no spiritual guide there. Will they do right? And young people, it's incumbent upon you, if you want to be blessed of God, to say, I'm going to do what's right if nobody else is around. If everybody else says they're going this way and that's right, I'm going that way. Every one of you got to decide that. Because I want you to notice the lesson in this passage. Their father put them in positions of judgeships. He put them in the position, I don't know which one he gave them. Maybe he said, now look, if you would, in verse number 2, his firstborn was Joel. Maybe he said Joel, and his second was Abiah. And there were judges in Beersheba. So there was another place where he says, look, I want you to take Beersheba, boys, and I want you to judge here. I'm judging here. I want you to judge there. And when I'm gone, you can have the rest of these judgeships. You can travel. And they said, oh, that's good. Look at me like our dad. But somehow they missed the heart of their dad. They missed the genuineness of their dad. And notice what happens. And this is what I want you to understand, young people. If you're not real, everybody knows it. You can't hide it. Your teachers know it. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think even parents know it. They just don't want to admit it. And there's only one person that can change it. That's you. So do you want God's blessing on your life? Now, I want you to notice, their father did everything in the world for them. Fed them, clothed them. They grew up, he gave them a judgeship. It was theirs to win or lose. Notice what happened. Verse number 3, his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre. That means they wanted to do whatever it took to get a little more money. Is that the kind of degree you're going to go get so you make a lot of money? Or is that are you getting a degree when you go to college that God wants you to have? Are you going in the direction that the Lord wants you to go? I am extremely happy with every young person in this room that says, I want to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. If he wants me to be an attorney, I want to do it. If he wants me to be a plumber, I want to be a master plumber. If he wants me to be an electrician, I want to be a master electrician. If he wants me to be a teacher, I want to be one of the best teachers around. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. If he wants me to work for the government, I want to be the best government worker there is. And if other people don't do the government right, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do the government right because I'm the Lord's servant. That's what I want for everybody in this room. It's not full-time service. Everybody is in full-time service if you've given your heart to the Lord. And he can use you in places that I cannot go. I can't get in the CIA building. I don't have to ask how many of you can. I know a lot of you can. And you're in there. But I can't get in there. So if anybody's going to make a difference in that building, it's going to be you. Well, he trains his boys. He puts them in judgeships. And notice what happens. They walk not after his ways, but turned aside after money and took bribes. So if you could pay them a little bit more, they would change their decision in your favor. In other words, they were persuaded by money. They were persuaded by position. Notice the next one. And perverted judgment. If you offered them something, they would change judgment. They would twist it where it wasn't fair or right. It was what got them the most benefit. In other words, they were not honest. You will not succeed if you're not honest and truthful. It doesn't mean you won't get in a judgeship, but you won't keep it. And you won't gain anybody's respect. Notice what happened. Verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together, every one of them, and came to Samuel in Ramah. This is judgment day. This would have been the worst day of Samuel's life. They all came together and came to his house. Notice, Ramah came to his house. I wonder if they knocked on his door. And he looks around and he sees these 60 or 70 leaders of Israel. And he says, what's wrong? Verse 5. They said unto him, behold, thou art old. Yeah, I can tell that. I know that. And thy sons walk not in thy ways. I can guarantee you at that statement, you'd have knocked Samuel over with a feather. He probably went over and sat down with the air taken out of his lungs. You mean I've preached faithfully for 60, 70 years and I forgot my sons? Thou art old and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now, the one thing that Samuel wanted more than anything else in the world was for Israel to do what's right. He not only lost his sons, and they lost their judgeship. And doesn't say what they did, but they didn't anymore have any respect. But they looked at Samuel and they said, now, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We want to be like all the other nations. We want to be like the Philistines. And God's saying, oh no. And Samuel is saying, oh no. I've been teaching and preaching you for all these years, and you now want to be like the other nations? This is the worst day of Samuel's life. Notice, if you would, Roman numeral 1, the outline, Israel rejected the leadership of the Lord and Samuel at the latter end of his life. Samuel put his sons in a leadership role. His sons were not spiritual. Are you spiritual, young people? By that I mean, do you want to do what God wants you to do no matter what? Do you spend time with the Lord yourself, by yourself, without anybody watching? And would you do it if there were no points and no mission trips? Now, 20 years ago, I came up with the mission trips. It was my idea to take young people on a mission trip. I did it in the other youth groups because it rewarded young people for doing right. And that's right. That's a good thing. And it helped them see there were other people that didn't have as much as they did. And that worked on their hearts. But you know what? You can take advantage of your parents or any good thing the church does for you if you're not spiritual. if you don't say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to. Do you remember there were 10 men got cured of leprosy? How many turned around and said, thank you? What? He became spiritual. Not just because he said, thank you, but he fell down at the Lord's feet. The Lord had worked on his heart. All I'm saying to you, spirituality caused you to see other people in a better light than yourself. If the more you grow, the more humble you become. If you become spiritual, you realize other people have done things for you and you would not be where you were without them and without the presence of the Lord. The more spiritual you are, the more you need the Lord. The more you can do for God, like Gideon. Here's Gideon. He whips the whole Midianite nation with 300 men because he outsmarts them. It wasn't his idea. God said, go get the pitchers and the trumpets. You see, God can take a little and make a great deal out of it. But he can't take somebody big and make anything out of them. Because you have to have a spiritual heart. Notice, if you would, in the outline, the sons were not spiritual and the people rejected them. The people knew what was right. One, they didn't walk in the same ways as Samuel. His sons didn't. Two, not only did they overly value money, but they also perverted judgment. If the girl was pretty, they would change the judgment in favor of her just so that maybe she would like them. If they had money or if they were somebody in the community, they might change the judgment. So the poor person lost when the poor person was right. A perverted judgment. And it got around like wildfire. They're not spiritual. They don't judge right. They're selfish. They're interested in money. And can I tell you this? It'll spread like wildfire too. Your friends know your heart. You can't hide it. Moms, dads, husbands, wives, your husband knows your heart. Your wife knows your heart. It's important that we're real. Samuel was real in his heart. He was genuine. But he didn't take the time to assure that his sons were real. Now, the way that happens is when they do what's wrong, you don't correct them. You cover for them. Because they're your sons. You make an excuse. Well, they worked real long today. They were hard workers today. Let's give them a break. Or, well, they were with that kid over there that's a bad kid and he rubbed off on them. They're not like that normally. That's the way it starts. And that can start when they're small children or teenagers. Cover for your kids. And then you'll notice, if you would, in this passage that it says, all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and said, your sons are not like you. That's a double-edged sword. Your sons are not like you. You're real. They're not. Who wants to hear that? Well, I'm thankful you think I'm real, but I'm destroyed that you think my children are not real. Notice, if you would, be in the outline, Israel gathered together and told Samuel he was old, his sons were vile, so make us a king. Now I want you to notice the response. In verse 6, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. I want to ask you a question. Why doesn't the Bible say, but when he said his sons were not like him, why didn't he pray about that? Because his heart was that Israel would do right. Misplaced priority. He's a good man. He loves the Lord. But why does the Bible not say, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, thy sons walk not in thy ways. Why did it displease him that they said, give us a king to judge us? It is as important for your children to do what's right as it is for you to win the world. If one soul is worth more than the whole world, which soul would you choose? Samuel chose wrong. And the end result was Israel, he prayed unto the Lord. Now Samuel had God's ear. And you got to understand this. God uses all kinds of people. If they're real, God uses them. It doesn't mean God likes everything about them. All of us have flaws, and God has to use us in spite of us. And Samuel had this flaw. How about Eli? Now, Eli couldn't pray and get through to God. Samuel could, because Samuel was real. That's the difference. Eli was a high priest. But he didn't listen to anything about his children. So parents, when you get a phone call from school, whether it's public school, Christian school, or whatever it is, or it's homeschool, and the mother, the teacher, calls the dad and says, you know what Johnny did? Dad, listen to the teacher. Don't go home and look at Johnny and say, Johnny, what really happened? You're in trouble. So when the school calls you and the principal calls you from Hernan High School, don't say, well, who was running with my boy? Or who were the friends around my girl? Or what was the teacher doing when my child did that? If he got caught cheating, what was the teacher doing looking? Look, you're responsible. Can't blame anybody else. And you can blame everybody else, but sooner or later, people see it. And they say, I don't want you to be a judge. Everybody in this room, sooner or later, has got to earn your stripes. You have to do it every day if you want the Lord's blessing. Remember this. All the people in the world cannot change Psalm 75. The Lord lifts up and the Lord puts down. Promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west, but God lifts up. If you do what's right, there's a principle in Scripture. The Lord is with you, and you and the Lord make a majority, and nobody can stop you. But if you try to do it your way, and the Lord pulls back and says, I can't help, it's a battle every day of your life. Notice, if you would, Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Now, what I want you to notice here is you'll not notice one word in the entire chapter. Samuel prayed unto the Lord for his boys. I think that's a tragedy. But I tell you what he does do. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. You see, what happened was they loved Samuel, and Samuel was real, but they saw enough unreal people. They saw Eli before him. They saw Eli's son as wicked. They saw Samuel's sons as wicked. And they said, this God thing is only good for certain people. It's not good for everybody. That's why, young people, you got to do what's right. And moms and dads, you got to do what's right. Because doing what's right's for everybody. And we've got to stand together and walk together and serve the Lord together no matter what your job is, so that people say, there goes an honest man. There goes a godly man. There goes a godly lady. You can't make that lady look at the wrong man. You can't make that man look at the wrong lady. You can't make those young people lie, cheat, or steal in their tests. You can't, because there's something about them. All of us in this room, if we're going to reach our community and make a difference in this place, everybody in this room's got to be real. You know how many people it takes to say, for a group outside the church to say, there's only hypocrites in that church? Just a couple. And they label us all that way. So you'll notice, if you would, now look here in the passage. I'm going to go through it very quickly. Time's fleeting, but I want you to notice. B1 in the outline. Because Samuel didn't have godly sons, Israel came up with their own solution. They said, we know how to fix this government problem. They wanted a king to be like all the other nations. They looked around to the world and they sought worldly advice. You'll notice, too, this would make Israel like other nations in government and remove some of their personal responsibilities. If we get a king, it's his job to make things right. I don't have to worry about it so much. You see, the principle of Scripture is that if I have a problem with Brother Brandon, I go to Brother Brandon, or God doesn't hear my prayers. I don't need to go to the king and say, you judge between us. But if I got a king and I can just say, hey, you judge between Brother Brandon and I, then the responsibility is off me to make things right, because it's right before God. And so you'll notice here, they got rid of some of their personal responsibilities. You'll notice not only that. 3, Samuel was greatly disappointed and prayed to God for what to do. He didn't know what to do when he heard that. Notice, if you would, 4, God answered and told Samuel the people rejecting God as their leader, not Samuel. I don't know how much better that made Samuel feel, because he loved God. 5, God said that Israel had forsaken him in their hearts. You know, the same thing happened to Israel that happened to his two boys. They let their hearts go. Now, everybody in this room, you got to protect your heart. Proverbs 4 says, keep thine heart with all diligence. Keep thine heart. You've got to keep your heart and protect it at all costs. The things you love and why you love them. You've got to take your heart and its desires and hold them up before the Lord and say, Lord, are these right? Everything that you like, want to be like, dream of, want to own, Lord, is this right? You've got to give it to the Lord first. And if the Lord says, I want it, you've got to be willing to give it to him. And you know what? God will never let you down. He will always do you better than you dream of. But you got to put him first. Well, you'll notice here, look with me if you would. 6, Israel did not want to submit to God's leadership. And that was the issue. And that's what caused the heart to go a different direction. I don't want to do what God wants. 7, finally the Lord said, give them what they want. Let them have a king. But show them what's going to happen first. So notice what happens. Look here. In verse number 8, according to all the words which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also now. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Verse 9, howbeit. And this is one of the few passages you'll ever see like this. Jeremiah was told this. Isaiah was told this. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. You show them what's going to happen. You protest to them. You say, you're making a mistake. And that's what I'm trying to tell you tonight, young people. You're making a mistake if you don't give the Lord your heart. Parents, you're making a mistake if you don't give the Lord your heart. You're making a mistake if you don't watch your children's heart to make sure you know what they would do when nobody's around. The test of your spiritual character is what you would do in a dark room. What you would do if nobody could see. What you would have if nobody knew. That's the test. So if you're not spiritual, come to this altar tonight and say, Lord Jesus, I want to do what's right. If nobody else is around, I want to do what's right. And some of you, peer pressure makes a big difference to you. Have you ever seen, this is kind of a funny thing. You know what peer pressure is? It's what people pressure you to do by things they say, things they do, things they wear. So have you ever seen, a couple of young people that they wear maybe a certain color? Or have you ever seen somebody do their hair different? I mean, somebody on TV does their hair and they spike it. Pretty soon you see everybody else kind of spiking their hair. Then you see people doing their hair, combing it this way or combing it that way. You see girls. You see a new style coming out. Pretty soon everybody's cutting their hair a certain way. Or and I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying we are susceptible to peer pressure, what everybody else does. And there's really not a lot wrong with that in most cases, because you become accepted as you go along. But when God gives principles in Scripture that are right and wrong, you can't go past those. And God says, thou shalt not steal. So you can never steal. Now, in Uganda, the people steal a lot. Jeremy has to lock things up in Mandy, and they got a locked door at the front of their house, this big old lock, and they got a guard that stands out in front of their house with a gun to protect everything. But the bottom line is, sometimes they're not sure the guard's going to do what's right. So they lock their house. But the point is, not that you get a bigger lock, but that you teach them their heart is susceptible to the Lord's eye. That's when you can delete the lock. Now, you may not be able to delete it based upon your living in the world, but you've got to be able to do it with your children. They've got to be able to take the lock off of your heart. And husbands, you've got to be able to take the lock off your wife's heart and wife off your husband's heart. That's whenever you love somebody. And God has to look at you and give you complete liberty and say, I'm going to take the lock off your heart. You can do what you will. That's one of the principles in Scripture that it gives us Christian liberty. But it's not so we can do anything we want. It's we can do anything we want inside His will. And then He blesses us. God knows there's very few people that are truly spiritual and want to do what's right. So He says, I will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man things I'm going to give you. Oh, it may not always be money, but it's a satisfaction you can't buy. It's a joy in your heart. It's the peace with your family. Notice if you would very quickly. In verse number 11. Verse number 10, Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the king, unto the people that asked him of a king. He said, let me tell you what God said for you to understand. He told me to protest to you solemnly, and I'm going to tell you what he said. Look here. He said, this will be the manner of the king, verse 11, that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, to be his horsemen. Verse 12, and he will appoint them captains over thousands, put them in his army, fight his battles. He will set them to hear the ground, to reap the harvest. He'll make them his laborers, to make his money. 13, he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, to make specialties for him, to make donuts and to make special cakes and pies and to please him and all the emissaries and friends that he's got, and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards, and listen to this, and your olives, even the best of them. Isn't that what King Ahab did to a poor young man that had been given a vineyard right next to the king's palace? Notice this. And give them to his servants as rewards for their goodness. He won't value you. He'll value his own servants and soldiers and cooks. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He's got to pay him some way. So he's going to take your stuff and he's going to give them to his officers. And he'll take your men servants and maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and you put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep and you shall be his servants. In the end, he says, you're going to serve him. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Do you get that? He's going to take your sons and daughters. He's going to take your money and your fields and the best of your lands. And he's eventually going to make you his servant. In verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Tragic day in Israel. Roman numeral 2. Samuel tried to portray what a government would be like when they had a king reigning over them. A, he will take your sons to fight his wars. B, your sons shall serve him. C, he will take your daughters to cook and clean for him. He will take your fields and vineyards, even your best, to run his government. E, he will take a portion of your possessions for taxes. Anybody here have to pay taxes? If we had a choice to let God be our king, boy, I tell you, life would be different. F, you will end up being his servants. And G, don't forget this. When all this happens, God will not hear your complaints. He will say, you asked for it, you got it. He'll give you Psalm 105:15. He'll answer the request of your heart, but send leanness into your soul. Psalm 106:15. The people answered Samuel, Roman numeral 3, after seeing what a king would take from them and said, give us a king. We don't care what it costs. A, they forgot the cost of not serving God. B, they wanted to be like the other nations. C, they didn't want to fight their own battles. In Roman numeral 4, God said again, give them what they want. In the end, they paid a high price for not letting the Lord lead them. Notice if you would, I'm going to read to you verses 19 through 22. Listen to what it says. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, so we don't have to make our own decisions, and go out before us and fight our battles, so we don't have to fight our own battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people and rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of the city, go ye every man into a city. And basically the next chapter, I'll make you a king. Can you believe these people were so foolish? Folks, tonight there's a lot of lessons in this passage. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Do you have the Lord first place in your life? Have you given him your priorities? Is he first? In your family? In your heart? Remember this, everybody in this room is personally responsible to the Lord for your heart. Nobody else. And that will determine your blessings in life and your peace in life. Next week, we're going to learn some more tragic stuff about Israel when it could have been a great blessing. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you need to come tonight. Maybe you've been a little bit like Samuel, been a little too busy for your family. Maybe you're a little bit like Samuel. You focus too much on the thing you love to do and not necessarily on things you needed to do. Maybe you're like Israel, or maybe you're like the sons of Samuel. You had your own mindset. Why don't you come tonight and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I want to serve you. Maybe you want to renew giving the Lord your thoughts and dreams. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. We want to love you more than all the world. Would you bless this place and these people for far beyond what we deserve? In your name we pray. Amen.